How should we talk about repentance as it relates to salvation? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've got a great discussion lined up for you. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar on Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning in to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob.
We're in this series on repentance, and if you've been following us either on air or online, your mind should have been blown, okay? Because what we're doing here is pretty different from what you'll hear in most churches and what you'll hear in most of history, where in most of history, people thought that repentance is a salvation message in an eternal sense. It's something that you need to do alongside faith, and sometimes the faith part was dropped out in history, to be eternally saved. In your book, Turn and Live, The Power of Repentance, you've been arguing that repentance is important for avoiding the deadly consequences of sin.
Right.
It's a corporate message. It's a message that can be preached to a whole city like Nineveh or Jerusalem, but it's also an individual message. If you see someone who is doing something that could lead to an early death, you call them to repent. I was just talking this morning to a man who works at a drug rehabilitation ministry, and the men who go to this ministry who are addicted to drugs, they would be the type of people who need to repent in order to live.
Right. This title of this chapter, chapter 17, is Preaching Repentance and Salvation. And as we discussed in the blue room before we were, or is it the green room? I get confused.
What color is it?
I don't know. As we discussed before this session started, we need to keep these messages distinct. Now, I realize that most of you who are listening to this today are not preachers. Some of you are, but most of you aren't. However, that doesn't mean you don't have an audience. If you're a parent, you teach your children. If you're a married person, you talk with your spouse. We all have people that we talk to at church, at work, in our family, etc. And so when you get opportunities to talk to people, what do you tell them about repentance and what do you tell them about salvation? So why don't we start first, Sean, with what do we tell people when it comes to repentance? Like you gave a good illustration with people who, let's say, have serious drug problems. My suggestion is the very best use of the preaching of repentance is to get people not to go there in the first place.
Right. It's preventative.
Right. So your children growing up are hopefully going to learn that it would be dumb to become a drug addict.
Right.
And hopefully they're not going to go that way because they're going to learn Christian principles in your home. And that's something they're not going to do because they're going to know that fellowship with God is better than anything this world has to offer. So the key aspect of the preaching of repentance is keeping people from departing from the Lord in the first place.
Right.
But once they do depart, if you have someone that departs, then yes, we call them to turn and live, which is the message of, for example, Ezekiel 18.
Right. And by the way, maybe we should mention something about this. If you've listened to our First John series, you might have heard us say that believers who are in fellowship with God, even though we sin on a daily basis, don't need to repent. All right, what we need to do is apply 1 John chapter 1, 7 and 9, that is, walk in the light and confess our sins in order to remain in fellowship with God. Repentance seems to be a message for believers who are out of fellowship with God and also unbelievers who are not in any kind of relationship with God at all.
Right.
That's a message for them, and it really deals with, again, the imminent, almost like imminent deadly consequences of sin. It's for the big jobs.
Right.
Right? Right. I don't know
exactly.
If that's the right term.
In other words, if you have someone away from God, and they're on a destructive lifestyle. They have a destructive path they're on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they need to get off that path because they're on the path of death. And by the way, that's found all through the Old and New Testament, that the wages of sin is death and that the way of sin is death. The whole book of Proverbs again and again tells us the way of the wicked is the way of death. And the way of the righteous is the way of life and peace. That's not talking about who's born again and who's not born again. That's talking about living righteously versus living unrighteously. And so it seems to me when we're talking about preaching the message of repentance, we're number one shooting for this preventative. Wise people up so they don't even go there in the first place.
Like this, for example, what we're doing here, not everyone who's listening to this needs to repent. There might be some believers who are in fellowship with God, but just learning about repentance is itself preventative.
Right.
Because they're realizing, oh, I don't ever want to get into this situation.
Well, in fact, in Ezekiel 18, it not only says, if the wicked man turns from his wickedness, then he will live. Then God will relent for the calamities he was going to send and he will live. But it also says, if the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and falls into iniquity, then he will die.
Right.
And so that's preventative language.
Right.
And the other part is for the person who's already strayed, turn and live.
Right.
And so it seems to me both are part of the preaching of repentance. And sometimes people have the idea that if we believe in justification by faith alone, then we have some sort of odd view that God doesn't care how we live.
Mm-hmm.
That's silly.
Right, as if God only sees you clothed in the righteousness of Christ.
Right.
Willfully ignorant of everything you're actually doing in life.
Or that God's only concern is whether we're born again or not.
Right.
That's not right.
Although that reflects a lot of contemporary evangelism, right? Just evangelize people and just leave them alone. Don't care about discipleship. Don't care about follow-up. God's not like that.
No.
God cares about the follow-up.
And the Bible's not like that.
Right.
In fact, even the unbeliever, some people think, well, with the unbeliever, all we do is evangelize them. Not true.
No.
If you have an unbeliever that's on a destructive, deadly path, you call them to repent.
Right.
Because if they die before they're going to believe the message of life, it's a little bit late to be sharing the message of life with them after they've died. Now, it's true, of course, you want to be able to share with them the good news of the free gift of everlasting life based on what Christ did for us on the cross. But the point is, if that person is in danger of dying today or tomorrow, well, we need to be calling them to change their life.
Right. Now, let me give you an example of someone sinning where probably the call to repentance is not necessary. There was just recently at church someone who works at the church, friend of mine. He was under a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things going on, and he just blew up in anger, probably unjustly. He just kind of blew up at someone in anger. But otherwise, I mean, he's there for the Lord every single day, and
right.
he's working and serving the Lord, and but he just had a moment of anger. Now, it would be inappropriate for me to stomp in and say, "Hey, you better repent,
right,
or else you'll die of your sins," or whatever. That would be inappropriate.
It would seem to me it would, because that seems more a confession issue, 1 John 1:9.
Right.
In other words, hopefully, after he did that, he realizes, yeah, that was wrong, Lord, I confess it. Maybe even comes to the person he was yelling at and asks forgiveness. But the truth is, he's not departed from fellowship with God because he had some momentary lapse.
Right.
We think of when we're talking about repentance is like the prodigal son in Luke 15.
Right.
Intentionally, he's going to the spiritual far country.
Right.
He's leaving fellowship with the Father far behind.
Right.
Going away from the Father. That's not the situation of somebody who, regardless of whether they're in church ministry or in secular work, has a momentary outburst of anger.
Another example where repentance would be called for is, I know people, let's say a girl who was faithful and in church, and then she meets a guy who's a non-Christian guy, and then she gets involved with him, and suddenly she's not going to church anymore, and suddenly she's maybe moved in with him, and maybe she gets pregnant, and maybe that leads to an abortion or, unequally yoked in some type of marriage or common law relationship, and she just gets farther and farther away from the Lord, and eventually, I know examples where that's happened, and now they're abandoned, and, they're in poverty, and they're just suffering. And
right.
It's like, in those cases, you want to call that person to repent, not necessarily angrily,
right.
Because the message of repentance doesn't mean you have to be emotionally angry when you're delivering it. It's just a message of, you need to turn away from this and come back.
Right. And in cases like that, sometimes it's corporate. In other words,
right.
It's sometimes both the husband and the wife, or if it's a common law situation, this man and woman both need to repent.
That's right.
Because they're in a situation where if they're married, well, the solution is not for them to divorce. The solution is for them both to repent.
Right.
Both to get right with God. And if they're believers, of course, they simply get back in fellowship. If they're unbelievers, well, they obviously need to believe in Christ in order to be born again, but they also need to repent of the life they're on, because they're on a path that, like you mentioned, is leading to poverty and destruction.
So even though we strongly believe in eternal salvation by faith apart from works, what you're saying is the message of repentance and the preaching of repentance should still be a regular part of the life of the church and the preaching and teaching of the church as a preventative measure for those people who are there.
Exactly. And the other part of it is preaching salvation. Obviously, we're going to call people to believe the message of John 3:16 or John 5:24 or Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Or Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The key here is to keep the two messages distinct, separate. They're not the same message. We don't say, in order to be born again, you need to repent and believe. We say, in order to be born again, you've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to have fullness of life, you've got to walk in fellowship with God, and that will involve, for someone who's away from Him, repenting.
So basically, in order to keep the message of life clear and free from works, you have to be actively preaching repentance. If you never, ever, ever mention repentance, people might not realize that it's not part of the eternal salvation.
That's exactly right. And besides, we're to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. And I don't see how any of us, when we're talking to our children, when we're talking to our family members, our friends, our loved ones, people at work, at school, how can we avoid talking about repentance if we're teaching the Word of God? Because the Word of God has a lot to say about repentance. But two messages, two separate messages, two separate conditions, two separate consequences. So when you teach this, tell people if they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they have everlasting life, they'll never perish. If they turn from their wicked ways and they walk in fellowship with God, they will live. They will have fullness of life and they will have the blessings of God in this life.
Thanks to Bob and Sean for that great discussion. I hope that you're beginning to see that repentance is not exactly what many have taught it is. If you'd like to go deeper on this subject, I'd encourage you to come visit us at faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free stuff for you to take a look at. You really should pay attention to our magazine. It's called Grace in Focus. Now, this is a beautiful magazine that goes out all over the country. You can also get past issues right there on the site, faithalone.org, completely free. You can subscribe right there on the site, faithalone.org, to Grace in Focus magazine. In addition to this, we've got videos, podcasts, blog posts, event details right there on the site. I hope you'll come and visit us at faithalone.org and get familiar with what we're all about. Maybe you've got questions or comments that you'd like to send to Bob or Sean. They love to hear from listeners. I'll give you our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Well, next time on the broadcast, we're going to complete our series on repentance. Tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.